It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Warning. Warning. This show contains mature content. Listener discretion is advised.
Are you ready to get your mind blown?
One angry New York City Puerto Rican decided to start a radio show, determined to piss the world off by shoving a mirror in front of society's face. He kicked them in the balls.
What are you? Who are you?
This is the Crotch Shot Radio Show. Crotch Shot Radio Show.
This is not a test. This is a broadcast transmission.
We're going to stay on the air.
And now, the Whippy. The Whippy.
Yo, welcome to the Crotch Shot Radio Show, where we kick the issues in the balls. We are on an active war against bullshit. We would do anything and everything to expose bullshit. The ends sometimes justify the means, so if you're angry and want the truth exposed, then strap in them. Wait a minute, why am I going through the full fucking intro? Damn, no, I mean, sometimes I'll do the full fucking intro if I'm going to be talking about, like, news and stuff. No, welcome to the Crotch Shot Radio Show. I'm your host, Louis B. Today, I am joined with Federal. I'm just going to be... Today, I'm freaking acting like I'm at an open mic. I'm joined with fellow comedian Narinder Singh. Would you consider yourself a full-fledged comedian or an open micer?
I would consider myself somewhere in between.
In between. He's in between an open micer and a professional comedian. It's like being part of the undead.
Undead.
The undead.
Yes, and with way less money.
Yeah. So, with the last name Singh, what part of Jersey are you from?
The part where it's really hot, like India.
So are you born and raised in India, or?
Yeah, I was born in India, lived there for 4 years, and then I moved to, lived in Mauritius, which is like a small island near Madagascar. It's like a French-speaking colony for you. Then the rest, and 4 years in Brooklyn.
Oh, what part?
Do you know Ocean Parkway?
Yeah,
around that area.
Ah, okay. That place still has some Brooklyn left to it. I mean, has it gotten totally gentrified?
I haven't gone back there, but when I lived there, I had a great time. Much better time than Long Island.
Oh, so you're living in Long Island now?
Yeah.
Jesus, what part of Long Island?
It's near like New Hyde Park.
Oh, so that's kind of like Queens.
A little bit. It's not. It's actually like 15, 20 minutes a drive from Queens.
Okay.
But, you know, it's because it's Long Island. It's like, you know, mostly, you know, white kids. You know, I went to a white kid high school, right?
Mm-hmm.
Minority. So trust me, it wasn't exactly Queens.
Oh, okay then. So, did they give you a hard time growing up?
Yeah, I think, you know, well, the funny thing is there were two Sikhs in my school, okay?
Okay.
And one of them, they left completely alone. Mm-hmm. And me, I was a bit of like a wise ass, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which did not, you know, was not the right chemistry when you're a minority and like 99% of white kids. And that got into me a lot of trouble. So I took the heat for both of us.
So were you always a smartass growing up?
Oh man, not always, man, not always. You can't be a smartass when you have an Indian father who's very strict.
Well, of course you can. You know, that's just how when kids hit America, it's like, all right, you're stuck in between two worlds. And, you know, for some of us, like, I guess most of us who become comedians, we tend to see the bullshit so much that it's kind of hard for us to fit in.
Yeah, that's true. But it's not much of an issue. Like, you know, if I lived with, like, a lot of Indian families, you know, surrounded by Indian families, right?
Yeah.
Then you don't feel different. You don't feel excited. But when you live back, like, oh, my father's taking me to, like, you know, vacation for getting a C+, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all you get is like an ass whooping. There's like, oh, wait a second, something's going, you know, something's different here. So you feel more of an. I felt more of an outsider. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. What in what community though? The Your Indian community or the whole, you know, the white community that you were forced into.
Yeah, I'm saying mostly the, you know, white community. But you know what? It's not like I'm trying to say it's like, you know, it was all bad. Because I think every kid gets picked on if you're different, right?
Right.
So I'm not saying my kid was, you know, like my life was so horrible. It was, you know, so whatever, you know, or even like, even when I joke, I did my first 20 minutes about my high school, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I have a great time talking about it. You know, I love talking about it. I love, you know, and it makes you stronger. So, you know, overall, you know, you're better off with it.
Did you get into many fights? Because, I mean, I forgive me. I don't know what Sikhs call the hat that they wear.
A turban.
A turban. Oh, okay. I thought that was a derogatory term for it.
No. It's a derogatory. That's not derogatory. Turban, you know, it's like, actually means, in my culture, it's like, it's just the word turban. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. Because whenever someone says, oh, that fucking turban is like always in a.
Yeah, I think if you add, fucking to anything, previously, you know, you can make it, you know, derogatory.
Yeah, and already we got racist in the chat. I mean, first of all, like, it's not like I'm trying to be like a white knight with this shit, like, because I like racial humor myself, and I don't mind being called a spick, but if it's the low hanging fruit, it's like going for like the easy joke. That's what annoys me about it. So already somebody said, "Oh, so we're getting a diehard comedian?" Like, really? Really? Just really?
It's fine. You know what? That's nothing compared to what I got. That's fine. That's
like it's
that's
like
that's not gonna bother me. Diehard?
Yeah.
Well, at least you know what? That's making progress. You know, usually I'm mistaken for someone outside of India. So thank you. I have to recognize I'm from India.
Right. Well, there you go. I mean, that's why we got You're from India. Like, it's just, I mean, that's the only reason why it annoys me, because it's so, it's like, it's the easy diss.
Yeah, but you know what I learned? Don't confuse racism with immaturity, right?
Okay.
Because some people are just, maybe in the, like even in the chat room, are just doing, like, trying to be funny or trying to be hilarious. You know, they're not really racist. You know, even if the person made, like, Dothead, right?
Right.
It's not going to, like, if I meet him, it's not going to be, like, he's going to see me as someone who's inferior, right?
Right.
He might be a little bit immature. Like, if I was in the same position, I would probably make the same like, kind of joke. I don't know. I'm just guessing. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, right? Even though the person said that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, just when I start out doing open mics, right?
Right.
I used to have very crude jokes about sex and stuff like that, because I didn't know what to joke about. Like, that's what my joke was all about, like, sex and stuff, right? Because that's what my friends laughed at, right?
Mm.
Like masturbation. So when you're involved with your own friends, right, you develop that kind of humor, you know?
Okay.
So and even though, you know, people who saw me as a comic, like my first year, oh, this guy's like really dirty and crass, right? And you might be right. Yeah, I might be that, but I'm not that in real life, you know? So I learned to differentiate between a person's racist humor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a person's racist thinking by the way he might look at me or he might interact with me.
Okay, so for example, how can you tell if someone... I'm just not even going to read that. So... That's just low-hanging fruit, Paul. That's low-hanging fruit. Okay. Damn, I even forgot. That just annoyed me how easy of a joke that is. So how would you tell someone is being seriously racist or just trying to be offensive? With like, trying to go for, like, being a shock jock.
Like, that's tough.
Because me, I like being shocking. I like saying something. I like saying something that will suck the air out of the room. But I'm not racist. I just find it funny that people still focus on race, because personally, I don't believe in race.
Yeah.
I mean, I could make a child with an Indian woman. An Indian man could make a child with a Puerto Rican. A Puerto Rican woman. I mean, it's not like we're different species of human.
Okay, here's what I look at.
Mm-hmm.
If I see someone, like, on the subway, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, keep staring at me for, like, 2-3 minutes, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, all right, this guy thinks, like, you know, obviously had things, you know, like, I don't belong here, whatever, right?
Yeah.
You could tell by how someone looks at you, if they're racist or not.
So have you ever had to deal with, like, racism or someone, like, bumping you at a gig because you're a Sikh?
No, not really. No.
Oh, that hasn't happened yet?
No, because New York is actually very sophisticated. That's not going to happen in New York. It might happen, like, in road gigs or whatever, right?
Okay, have you ever been to a road gig that's happened?
You know what's the funny thing? I actually did an urban show in Brooklyn.
Okay.
And like, this is the part of the show where everyone shakes their keys if they don't like you, right? They're like, get off, right? I don't know if you've ever done that kind of show.
Okay.
And every comic gets, like, you know, keyed up, because they love throwing people out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I got there, like, it's all, you know, like a black... And I could feel the tension right away. Like, they thought, well, like, who the hell is this guy? Like, you know, I hear, like, you know, some whatever, right? But once I started talking about my high school, started getting into gear, they laughed, man. It was good. It was like, you know, you can dispel any room with, you know, humor, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. Once you get people laughing, you disarm. It's disarming.
Yeah, I think that's what people is. People, you know, don't know who you are. Until you give them a chance, you know?
Right. It's like, well, he's funny. Yeah, I mean, I did an open mic last night where I was talking, because I'm from Williamsburg.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've been here since, you know, since the, I was born and raised here. So, I noticed a change, so I'm doing my anti-hipster bit, where in other rooms it's gotten a laugh, but I was at Upright Citizens Brigade Theater East.
Right.
At their open mic. And I was the last comic up, so the room was basically empty already because everyone who did their bit left.
Yeah.
And the people that were there, they just weren't laughing.
Right.
And so towards the end, I just got pissed off and I was like, okay, well, it's time for me to attack these sons of bitches. So I was like, look, I'm just going to stand here and just stare at you. I already got the light, and it was like I had 30 seconds left anyways. So I just called the audience a gaggle of faggots, and that's what got the reaction. It was like, oh my God. And then okay. I got cut off. They played me off. End of open mic. I never felt so satisfied in my life.
Nice.
So
Yeah, I think like half of the battle for open mics is just getting their attention, you know?
Yeah. Have you ever attacked the audience if they're not cooperating?
You know, the first time I did crowd work. I tried to do crowd work, right? And it was, and I picked this guy's girlfriend. I said, you know what? Like I don't know what bad hair day is, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can only imagine, like, this girl's having one right now, right? And people laughed, like, you know, and the guy kept heckling me through my whole set. And I didn't try crowd work again for, like, another year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but by the end of my set, he actually became my biggest fan. But then I realized, you know what? I got to be gentle, you know, with the, with the audience. Because with my persona, right, I can't be that edgy yet.
Okay, well, why not?
In terms of when they see me, because with the audience used to be like rooting for me, right, already, like when I walk on stage, right, sometimes, and they want to hear my experience as overcoming a struggle, not putting down people, you know.
Well, sometimes they, especially in New York, yeah. You know, I grew up, you know, playing the dissing game. It's like if you could take someone down with your words and
right.
like out insult them,
right.
you get a lot of respect. I mean, that's kind of a New York thing. I mean, that's why a lot of New Yorkers we're known to be the best shit talkers in the world.
Right. What I'm trying to say is that I've had like punchlines, like, you know, jokes, like they were like really mean, right? Mm-hmm. And it didn't come off. It didn't work. It never worked, like my like mean punchlines, right? And that's how I developed my persona. Like people laughed more when I found the humor in my struggle rather than, you know, like that being a mean guy. Just for me, you know. So I'm not saying what works for you, right? Might be different for me.
Right.
And I think what you're trying to say is a different crowd, right? Might react to the mean stuff a bit more. So, you know, you, as a comic, you always have to adjust, right?
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, well, my question is because, you know, I'm Puerto Rican and a lot of my jokes are more like ethnic based. How much, like, what's the percentage of your jokes are ethnic-based?
Ethnic-based, just like talking about being Indian, right?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Being Indian, you know, your religion and stuff like that. Like, making jokes about, you know, about yourself, about your upbringing, you know. Making fun of your dad and, you know, doing your dad's impression.
I would say about 30%, but I don't do the Indian accent though. I don't make mm-hmm. you know, I make if I make fun of my family, right? it's the universal thing, like having an overbearing mom, right? Like everybody can relate to, right? Because I don't want to fall into the stereotype of, you know, of, oh, like, yeah, this guy just, you know, being an ethnic humor.
Yeah, like that fan.
Yeah, yeah. I'd rather talk about, you know, relationships and stuff like that, and finding the truth, you know, like, oh, wait, yeah, this, you know, we have all experienced that.
Do you, like, have a joke that you wanna put out there, or, you know, as an example?
Let's see. Oh, that's gonna be tough.
Don't worry, we got all night to figure this out.
Example of
I hope the electronic dance music is not bothering you.
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to think of one. Let's see, should I use my Let me see. Hold on. Let me open my folder right now.
Alrighty.
Let's see. Well, in the meantime, what's you give me an example. Like, what do you have anything? Example of your joke.
Hold on. Let me pull it up because I don't want to fuck it up. Google Docs. So, I mean, but why you looking? What is your, like, what inspires you? What is your muse when it comes to what you write about, what you talk about?
My inspiration?
Yeah.
You mean like my fellow comics, like the comics that I
No, like what subjects do you talk about? What usually hits you in the head, like, oh, I gotta write about that? Like how does inspiration strike you as, like, shit, all right, that's what I wanna write about?
They say comedy is tragedy, right?
Right.
And I think that's it. Like writing about, you know, tragedy, about pain, right? Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That is what I love writing about, because it's also very therapeutic.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com. And live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Right?
Right.
And just cutting, you know, like, to the, you know, cutting the bullshit. You know, you just get the, oh, this is it. This is, you know, this is real, right? And I love writing about relationships. Not just about, you know, like marriage or a girlfriend. It's about, you know, family or whatever, because the toughest thing to do is live with someone, you know?
Right.
Because, you know, you gotta make compromises, you know, you gotta understand the BS, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, I think that's hilarious. I think, like, you know, and we all have, you know, character flaws, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we all have, like, you know, tempers and stuff like this. So I find that fascinating.
Oh, I used to be friends with this one female comic. And she's like, you're so mean. I'm like, yeah. Why are you so angry? I think I'm in the perfect profession for me to be angry. be able to talk it out.
You're so mean to the world. Like, you're so perfect.
Yeah, no shit. I know I'm fucked up. But I'm not going down by myself.
Oh, man. That's great, dude. I think if the real danger of comedy is that if everyone sounds like another comic, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes I enjoy a comic that's completely different from my style.
Yeah.
Because one, I get to learn more, right? Mm-hmm. And one, is, you know, it balances everything out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, actually, I found the joke that I do.
Yeah.
It's, I had a great granduncle who was a bad drunk. He used to sit outside the bodega drinking Bud Light with his friends. One day, a guy asked him to watch his dog while he went into the bodega. On this day, he ran out of SSI money, and he was really thirsty. So he ended up selling the guy's dog. So when I was coming home from school, the paramedics were loading him into the ambulance, and I ran to find out what happened. He told me, I didn't spill a fucking drop. Actually, no.
That's a good joke, man.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, here's one that's really Puerto Rican. When it comes to Puerto Rican singers, why the hell is Mark Anthony a sex symbol? The boy looks like he has leukemia with AIDS. You shouldn't be able to see a man's cheekbones. Just going off, like, Mark Anthony is a huge Puerto Rican star. He's like he's like a national treasure on the island.
Wait, isn't he married to J-Lo?
He was.
Oh, he was. Is that the guy? Okay.
They've been divorced for like 2 years, and when they got the divorce, everyone was like, oh my god, what are we gonna do? It's just ridiculous.
Okay. I don't know if I should. This might be, let's see. Okay. You ever had your mom say, like, finish your plate, the starving kids in China?
No. She usually says, stop eating so much.
All right.
Yeah.
But you know that phrase, right? Like,
yes.
Most moms say?
Yeah.
And I said, like, you know, and my like, you know, premise is, like, you know, how can I eat? How can you, like, a kid finishing his plate after hearing tragic news of world hunger, you know?
Yeah, you might want to, like, email a picture of a pork chop to a Chinese kid or ship it FedEx or something.
It's like telling, it's like saying, don't finish your plate. They're fat kids in New Jersey.
Yeah, no, right? I mean, for that matter, how come we're so worried about Chinese kids starving when we got starving kids, like, around the corner from us?
That's part of my, like, mom logic, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Just always wonder about that. Like, who care? Like, I mean, this is going to sound messed up, but I could give a shit what's going on in Israel and Palestine.
Did you say you don't give a shit?
I could give a shit, honestly. I'm getting tired of, like, constantly seeing pictures of children with their brains hanging out. It's like, okay, what does this have to do with me? You want me to strap on an AK-47 and go to Israel and be like, hey, guys, cut the shit? I mean, the only thing I could agree with is don't give them, you know, don't give Israel money.
I don't know. I think looking at these images, right, they make you think twice, you know, about war.
Well, yeah, we should be thinking twice about war because of Iraq and Afghanistan. I mean, it's...
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, before Twitter, right?
Yeah.
You didn't get to see these kind of pictures, these images, right?
Well, I mean, you were still able to see them. You had to, like, go to, like, the dark parts of the internet to see them, though.
Yeah, like who goes to the dark side? Who has the time to go to the dark side of the internet? I'm glad, you know what, people are tweeting all these pictures, you know, about
Ogreish
all was the casualties. What?
Ogreish.com was my shit.
Ogreish.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might have to.
Yeah, I mean that you know, that's that site where it shows like snuff almost. Like the people that would jump off bridges and stuff, and when they fall, they look like their bodies exploded.
Yeah.
Like that's where I would see the, you know, the gory pictures. In fact, let me see if Ogreish is still on. I don't know. I haven't been to Ogreish in such a long time because of Twitter. Oh, now it's called LiveLeak. I guess LiveLeak got it. So. Yep. So, I mean, how do you avoid not becoming a stereotype? I mean, do you, since you do wear a turban, do you use that as your advantage to, like, surprise people of that's not the route you're going? Because it does seem kind of does it feel like it's kind of expected of you?
Let me ask you a question. You said you saw me a few months ago, right?
Yeah.
I mean, a few weeks ago? A
few months ago, yeah.
Do you remember what I was talking about?
I remember you were talking about a girlfriend. I don't remember it completely.
Okay.
Because it was so long ago.
Right. Okay, that's good. I was actually talking about my ex. The only way to use... I think for me, there's like two for being a stereotype, right? Is like being a hack, right? And the only way to avoid being a hack is just writing original comedy, which is true for all comics, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the only way. There's no difference between, you know, my writing and like another comic's writing. We just all have to avoid those kind of cliches. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some people think like, you know, I have it easy or I have it more difficult. No, I think we're on the same, you know, writing is just hard, man. You just got to be, you know, more truthful and more find, you know, different angle, you know, etc.
All right. Well, let's move on. Have you heard of this whole Anthony Cumia getting fired for what he tweeted?
What did he tweet?
Oh, okay. Basically, he was taking pictures in Times Square.
Yeah.
And a woman happened to be in his frame, and she took offense to, you know, having her picture taken.
Yeah.
And instead of discussing it, she starts punching him in the face. Well, understandably, he was upset. He went on Twitter, he called her a savage, he called her a cunt, he said some... Actually, let me try to find this. I keep discussing it, and, you know, I gotta... Let me just find this so I can read to you what he wrote. In fact, I took some pictures of some strippers in Times Square the other day.
Yeah.
I didn't... Like, it's fantastic how it's legal for women to just walk around in thongs and body paint. Yet they still look at you like, how dare you stare at me, you pervert.
I can relate.
Like, you know what you're doing. I'm not gonna be... Shane's because, you know, hey, I like looking at chicks. There we go. while I'm looking, did you hear about the Canadian rapist?
No, what happened?
He forced his victims to apologize.
How?
No, that's just a joke. That's the punchline. Oh. Yeah. Boo. I know. Try harder. So. Where the fuck is it? Okay. Oh.
It says in your bio you're a libertarian conservative, right?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, I'm socially liberal, which means I could give a fuck who you like to sleep with.
Okay.
But I'm financially, when it comes to the economy, I'm conservative.
Okay.
Like
So you basically you believe in the trickle-down economy?
More of a free market, you know, just allowing, just because the government artificially fucks with the economy. If you allow the economy to like do what it does, like allow the market to like set its own prices, like okay, like work on the theory of supply and demand. Okay, if there's less of something, you charge more. But if there's no scarcity, you charge less. But what happens is the government will, like, for example, when it comes to, let's use corn for an example. They force farmers to grow a lot of corn, so that way they create ethanol. Well, right. That drove the price of corn to such a low level that a lot of farmers were losing money, and the whole ethanol thing didn't take off. Because remember, everyone's talking about how ethanol's the future, we're going to stop using fossil fuels, we're going to use ethanol. Right. Which is not a bad idea, but of course you have not only the big oil companies not trying to suppress it, and the government giving them subsidies to suppress it, and you know,
how about like the big things like minimum wage? Do you believe in minimum wage or no?
I mean, if I got paid more money, great. But you also gotta realize, since we, like, I'm thinking as far as locally in New York, where we're taxed to hell as it is. Like, I don't care how less money you make. You raise the minimum wage, businesses are going to fire people.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah, because it's happened to me. I've been laid, I did security. I've been laid off. Because companies don't want to pay. I mean, they basically want you to fight terrorism for as little money as possible. And they'll cut staff, they'll cut anything to save money until something bad happens, and then they wanna blame security. But hey, you don't wanna pay.
Yeah, but you know what? Ever since they started the minimum wage, right, they kept increasing it, right? Mm-hmm. The corporations said, you know what? No, we're gonna this is gonna hurt the economy. This is gonna hurt our business. And in fact, McDonald's, if you pay them the study. If you pay their workers $15, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's going to add like 15 or 20 cents to their cost of the burger, right? You think 20 cents is going to hurt their customer base? I'm very skeptical about corporations more than I am about government.
Well, when you got corporations pretty much telling the government what to do in a lot of cases. Is dangerous.
In some cases, you know, I'm very skeptical of everyone. I'm not for big government or small government. I'm against stupid government, right? And they come in all sizes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
Yeah, I mean, but big government is expensive. I mean, and a smaller government is easier. It will listen to the people more. I mean, at least with a corporation, we can vote with our wallets. If people don't like the business practices of McDonald's, stop going to McDonald's. Unfortunately, I don't know if you've passed by the McDonald's on 42nd Street.
So no.
Well, it's always packed.
Right.
People are not going to stop going to McDonald's. And what you're going to do is you're going to force a lot of people out on the street, unfortunately. Me, I feel like I'm underpaid doing what I do. So I decided to go back to school. I decided to go back to school and change my career. I know a lot of people can't do that.
Yeah.
But, it really,
that's good for you. That takes a lot of work.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta bust your ass. I mean, it just comes down to these people having to take, thank you, Kyle Pope. He sent a tweet for us. Thank you, Kyle Pope Radio. It's like people got to start planning and stuff like this. Cause I mean, look, a lot of times people have been irresponsible and now they have to take whatever they can get. And yeah. I mean, but I do feel for them. I mean, look, I would hate to work at McDonald's because those people bust their asses, especially having to deal with the public. I mean, I don't know if you've been to that McDonald's on West 4th.
No, I don't go to McDonald's.
Okay, well, have you seen that McDonald's on West 4th?
Yeah, it's busy, right?
Yeah, but like a couple years ago, there was this guy, he got spit at and he got spit and slapped by these two lesbians because he was like checking a $50 bill that they gave him. To see that it was real. You know, they had that mark, that special marker.
Yeah.
And they took offense to that.
Right.
First of all, who's paying for McDonald's with a $50 bill? That's some special kind of asshole.
Right.
But then they go around the counter to try to fight him, and he pulled out a pretty much a pipe, and he cracked both their skulls. Because, you know, there was no... Now there's security there.
You know what? Every time you hear these kind of stories, right? When, like you said, when you mentioned Anthony Kuma, whatever, right?
Kuma, yeah.
Yeah, it's just dumb acting. Dumb and dumber, basically, right?
Yeah.
There's no clear smart guy in any of those kind of situations.
Well, I side with the McDonald's guy for having to defend himself.
By cracking this with his skull?
Well, come on. First of all, we live in New York. You don't know what anyone has. If someone's going to be bold enough to climb over the counter or go around the counter to attack you...
Okay, so they went over the counter and spit at them? Is that what you're saying?
No, one of them slapped them, the other one spit at them, and then said that they were going to cut them. So they jumped... the man in the relationship jumped over the counter... And the other one went around the counter to try to hit him. So he picked up like a metal rod type pipe thing, and he beat him, and he was acquitted. But he still got fired, and this McDonald's location is already known as a problem. Having problems in the past, and in fact, after this, there was another issue. With dealing with drunks and whatnot on the weekend, so they had to hire a security guard to be there on the weekends now.
So I would give them a burger. That's punishment enough.
Well, it's not punishment if they were there to buy the burger.
Yeah, but you know what? I would give them like the worst, what do you call it? The apple pie, the worst apple pie.
All right. Okay, so this is what Anthony Cumia said on Twitter, which he deleted because he got tired of people just taking it out of...
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Context. So right. He's like, so I'm taking pics in New York, and a black girl who was in frame punched me in the face. I called her a fucking whatever he put there, because that's what she was. Then she punched me 5 more times. She's lucky I was a white legal gun owner, or she'd be dead. Then 5 blacks started giving me shit. I told them to back the fuck off. This wasn't their show. The cunt then punched me again. Seems white boys don't hit back. Lucky savage. Wish a cop was around, although she said she'd tell them I sexually harassed her. Lying cunt. I hope she gets shot in her ass. Fuck her ass fuckface. Ugh. They aren't people. I'm fucking livid. If I was an illegal savage, I'd have shot her. The violence in her are so predictable. I hope she gets killed.
Right.
And he was fired for saying that.
Hmm.
Does that seem like did that seem racist to you, or someone pissed off they got hit?
It seems someone got pissed off, obviously, right?
Yeah.
But I'm not going to sign a petition for him to get reinstalled. Whatever. I don't know who the hell this guy is, right?
Right. Well, I've been listening to him since I was 14, so.
Okay.
I mean, because this will just end up affecting all of us, because, like, you know, it's going to get to the point where we can't be honest while on stage. Because someone's afraid someone's going to get offended.
But you know what? That's kind of like the beauty of what you do, right?
Yeah.
Because if no one... You don't want to live in a world where nobody gets offended, right?
Right.
That's not even edgy comedy then, right? If nobody gets offended, everybody's used to what you're saying. First of all, that's a harsh world, right?
Yeah.
And that's what that's what gives guys like you courage. You know what? The more that this happens, right?
Mm.
The more you seem... So this actually benefits you. Because you're going to be more courageous being who you are, right?
Right.
So screw everyone who keeps getting fired. Be who you are. And if they don't like you or they don't take you, that's their problem.
Exactly. But, but a lot of comedians have come under fire for, like, even saying rape jokes. Dane Cook. What's his name? He does that show on Comedy Central with the videos. Daniel Tosh. He got in trouble. That other comedian, what's his name? Jonah Hill. The paparazzi were following him and just insulting him. He called them a bunch of faggots. So he had to go around and apologize. Like, it seems like people could be an asshole to you, but the moment you get pissed off and you react, it's wrong. I mean, I've already discussed this on my show before. It's just I want to get your take. Like, should there be a line for comics? Should we have to be worried about what we say on stage?
First of all, the only thing you have to worry as a comic, right?
Mm.
If it's funny or not, right?
Right.
And if you can make people, like, because I've offended a lot of people, but not being funny, like, because I've tried, like, you know, like, racial humor, right? It wasn't working. You know, like, I work out a joke and it seems too edgy, right?
Yeah.
So I can't tell a comic, hey, don't worry, okay? Every comic should be worried. The more edgy you are, right? It's like diffusing a bomb, right?
Right.
If you do it the right way, right? You're going to save lives, right? But if you're not qualified, if you don't have enough practice of diffusing a bomb, right? People are going to react and you're going to get killed. Everybody's going to get killed.
Right.
So you know, like I said, you know, the more polarized, more something is, right? So I don't mind the challenge. If I, you know, if I take on some edgy subjects, right? I'm not going to complain, hey, stop stop not liking me or whatever, right? You know, be a man. Because I think comics become too soft. Like, hey, you know what? Oh, no, people are going to complain. People are going to tweet, right? Then take it like a man. If you only think it's funny, then make it funny. If not, come to screw you, you know?
Wow, okay.
That's just my take. I think too many comics complain and they don't work hard enough. But I like Chris Rock's approach when he tries out a new biz, right? He goes, I don't want anybody's camera phone recording me, right?
Right.
Because he tells everybody, like, this is going to be bad. This is going to be harsh. I don't want it. If it's not ready, right? Because Chris Rock understands the process of letting the audience know, right? This might be offensive, whatever, right? I need time to make it funny, right? But I think there are two different things going on because people are recording your raw material, which will offend people because it's not that funny, right? You know, so I think people, the owners of the club or whatever, should tell right away, you can't record, you know, because I've done shows and people start, you know, like, you know, recording me and telling me, please stop. So, you know, the two different things, you know, going on in this situation.
Have you dealt with joke thieves yet?
That happens a lot. I actually caught a couple of comics, try to do it. And one of them, I did a joke like 5-6 months ago, and he took it word by word, like the first two lines of my setup, right?
Oi.
And he wasn't that he was trying to steal it. It's like sometimes you don't even know that you're stealing it, right? Because it just pops to your head, right?
Yeah.
And you don't even realize, hey, like, you know, someone of the comics said it, right?
It's usually someone points it out and then you're like, oh shit, okay, then you just don't do it again.
Yeah.
It's like you weren't stealing, it's just like, okay, well, you had a similar thought, or maybe you heard it and you just forgot it and it was still in your subconscious or something. You know, whatever, but you didn't mean to steal.
You didn't mean to, but you know what? When people start taking more of your jokes, right?
Mm-hmm.
It means you're heading the right direction.
True. I mean, flattery is the highest form of whatever. I forgot that saying.
Yeah, and I like Chris, I like what Seinfeld said. If the guy who steals my joke, right, I'm never worried about, because he doesn't have the brains to create an original 45-minute set of his own, right?
Right.
So I'm not gonna waste my energy. Hey, stop that, right? So he's gonna develop his 45 minutes as quickly as possible, right? And, you know, get on TV and get known, like, and that guy's who's still struggling because he doesn't have, you know, he's still stealing jokes or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, because the reason why I picked this, I ask you this, is because at UCP East, I saw this, actually, he was also Indian, comedian. It seemed like a word-for-word joke. And basically his past was the same as a former female friend of mine, talking about how he used to be a cancer researcher at Columbia. and he quit just to do comedy. And that's the same story, that's the same backstory of my former female friend. And I'm like, wow, I want to know if they've crossed paths, and because she said the same exact joke.
Right.
And I'm just, it has me worried, because a lot of my jokes, you know, I try to make them as personal as possible, but I'm afraid someone might steal it and, worse, become successful with it.
No, don't. First of all, no comic's gonna steal your joke. You said he's a new comic, right?
I don't know if he's a new comic. I've never seen him before until yesterday.
Now, you know what? For me, I think it's not. Okay, like I said, the reason I don't worry about it that much is, first of all, I'm heading in a faster direction than he is, right?
Yeah.
Because the first year of comedy, nobody steals your jokes, right?
Right.
They don't know who you are, right? So second year, nobody steals. Third year or fourth year, the first year comics might steal your jokes, right? But you're already 3 years ahead of them, right? Mm-hmm. The only time you should worry is when a pro comic steals your joke.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess. So,
that's not going to happen, you know, that you and Chris Rock are on the same stage and he steals your joke, so.
Maybe if it's Carlos Mencia.
Oh, you know, like I said, Carlos Mencia is a perfect example of karma biting his ass, right?
Yeah.
And I'm a firm believer of karma. You know, you can't get away with shortcuts in life. No way.
I wonder if Carlos Mencia can even go into do an open mic in New York without someone giving him shit.
I don't think Carlos Mencia needs an open mic. But I did see his 1 hour, the last one. Was it like 2 years ago or 1 year ago?
I don't know. I don't pay attention to Carlos Mencia ever since Joe Rogan threw his ass off.
That was epic.
Yeah. Now he's like, he's lost all this weight now, and he's like hold on, he's actually doing a podcast now.
Okay.
It's probably not as big as Rogan's.
Yeah.
Like, what? But then again, almost every comedian every comedian has a podcast now.
That's true. My podcast is my Twitter. Yeah. But how long have you been doing podcasts for?
7 years.
7 years.
7 years.
So you must have a good following then.
There are times that I've taken a break, so, I mean, I'm working on gonna be renaming the show, rebuilding and rebranding, but,
Is there any comic you had on your podcast that became really famous?
No, in fact, I started having comics now.
Oh, okay.
Liz Larkin was my former female friend. She was my first comedian that I've had on the show, but then Liz Larkin, and then you.
Oh, I'm your second.
Yeah.
I'm your first your first male comic and Sikh comic.
Pretty much.
Wow, I'm honored, man. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're breaking walls here, my friend. Now you've cleared the way for other Sikh comics to come on my show.
Thank you. I can't wait. I can't wait for the chat room.
Yeah, I have. In fact, next week I have an Indian who half Indian, half Puerto Rican. His name is Mohinder Rodriguez.
Really?
No.
No. Okay. That's like.
But we're Puerto Ricans. We go with the one drop rule. You have one drop of Puerto Rican in you. You're 100%.
Nice. So you're saying there's no problem with interracial marriage. How do Puerto Ricans feel about Puerto Rican parents feel about interracial marriages?
Dude, I have a cousin who's blonde hair, blue eyed, and I have another cousin who has nappy hair. It doesn't fucking matter.
So you're saying if a Puerto Rican girl brings me to her parents, they're gonna welcome me with open arms?
Pretty much.
Wow.
In fact, we'll freaking feed you yellow rice and with some beans and, well, no pork. You know, pork's...
No, I eat pork. That's Muslims who can't eat pork.
Yeah, okay. Well, but not beef. So
no, yeah. I eat beef.
Oh, you eat beef too?
Yeah, that's...
Fuck you. You're in. You're in. It's like, fuck. Yeah, I mean, it actually reminds me when I was handing out flyers for a Jewish parochial school.
Yeah.
This Hasidic Jew comes up to me and he's talking to me in Spanish, and I realize it was Puerto Rican accent Spanish, like straight off the island. And my ears part, I'm like, wait, you're Puerto Rican? He's like, yeah. I'm like, how can you not eat pork? You're Puerto Rican. He's like, I just don't. I'm like, but that shit's delicious. How, you're Puerto Rican. Like, what do you do during Thanksgiving?
Oh, man.
It's like, I just don't eat pork. It's like, but you know, that's how grandma freaking seasons the rice. How the fuck? How does this work, my friend? I don't know. I don't know the logistics of being a Jew in Puerto Rico. I'm just confused about the whole shit right now.
Oh, that's in Puerto Rico or in America?
No, Puerto Rico. Well, Puerto Rico is part of America, so.
Okay.
But there are Hasidic Jews in Puerto Rico.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, Sephardic Jews. They're your normal Jews.
Hmm.
That's for Casey. That's an inside joke for Casey. Oh, he's gonna be in New York. He's gonna be doing New York. Oh, he's gonna be at Gotham Comedy Club in September. Carlos Mencia. Oh, you know what? We should set up a fucking protest. Just have all the open micers standing outside. No joke thieves allowed in New York.
No, man, I wish I had that much time to devote to Carlos Mencia.
Really? $25 a ticket? My balls. Actually, there's a VIP, like, for $115. Carlos Mencia is undoubtedly one of today's most popular entertainers in comics, my dick. I mean, I wouldn't say that's kind of strong, because I do kind of like some of his bits. Gabriel Iglesias.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing I don't like about him, he's just too safe.
Who? Carlos Mencia?
No, Gabriel Iglesias.
Oh, that guy does great act outs, man.
Yeah. I mean, but he's just too safe.
Yeah, you know, like I said, the more people take the safe route, right?
Yeah.
The more you're going to look good, right? Mm. You don't want too many edgy comics. That's going to make your work more difficult.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like, I want to be like an outlaw comedian like Lenny Bruce, like Bill Hicks, God, how did I forget his name? George Carlin.
Yeah.
Like, especially, like, Richard Pryor, his bit where he's making fun of himself when the crack pipe exploded and lit him on fire.
Right.
Like, to be that brutal is the direction I want to go.
Go for it, man.
Yeah. I mean, if I don't make as much money as Gabriel Iglesias, I could give a shit, but at least, you know, I'm fucking up the establishment telling the truth.
Right.
And forcing people to, like, look, okay, there's some bullshit afoot. You know, I mean, I'm a 9/11 truther. I believe the government planned and carried out 9/11, or at the very least, let it happen on purpose. And we're killing brown people for no fucking reason. I mean, that's where I give a shit. It's like, okay, we're in Iraq and we're fucking these people up that had nothing to do with 9/11, had no fucking weapons of mass destruction, and now all we did was create new enemies and probably created legitimate terrorists in the future.
I think if there's a 9/11, whatever, what do you call it, the 9/11 truther, whatever?
Yeah.
That would be, like, best for me, because no one's going to be looking at me with hate.
But yeah, no, it's, you know, yeah, I mean, if there were more 9/11 truthers out there, yeah, you probably will have an easier time going through the airport. It's like, okay, well, we're not looking for him. We're looking for some agent Men in Black looking motherfucker.
Right. I mean, if you weren't 9/11, I wouldn't be on this podcast.
I don't know, because, you know, it's like, I don't hate Jews. I have a Jewish best friend. That old gag. But no, seriously, I have a Jewish best friend. I've had gay people on here. Yeah. Like, in fact, other 9/11 truthers have criticized me for having Jews on this show. There's that whole fringe of the 9/11 truth movement that believes that Jews did 9/11 because they control the world. And,
right.
You know, I'll go as far as saying there is a criminal black ops element within the Israeli government. Like, there's a criminal black ops element within that infiltrated the United States government.
Mm.
And it's that, and I believe it's...
So basically, you're already called it a conspiracy theorist, right?
Yeah.
How come there's never a woman conspiracy theorist?
Oh, there are.
There are? I've never seen them. It's always guys, man. So it's like, you know...
Oh, yeah, because it's mostly a sausage fest. I mean, because, you know, I know a few, but It's usually because guys scare them off. Because wherever, you know, comedians, freaking conspiracy theorists, you get a bitch come wandering in. Oh shit, pussy! and they're like, no.
It's like basically Comic Con for like nerd comics with alternative endings, right?
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah. That's pretty much the way I would put it. Chick comes wandering into a meeting. Oh shit, there's pussy.
Listen, you know what? More power to you, because who am I to judge your way of thinking, right?
Yeah.
Because some you never know. Like, I think the people who challenge the truth, right? It's for people to get the truth out, right? It might not be the truth you want, right? Mm-hmm. But the fact that you're challenging it, right?
Yeah.
I gotta give you props for.
Yeah, it's just we're just asking questions because, hey, you know, you rushed into war.
Yeah.
You rushed into war. You know, like when this guy killed Bin Laden, for the fifth time?
Yeah.
I mean, when that assassinated Pakistani politician, Benazir Bhutto, she said she was at his funeral, that he's been dead for over, at that time, 8 years. Who did they kill?
Who?
No, it's like basically asking the question. I mean, they've reported this guy been dead, like, he was killed, like, five times.
All right, let me ask you this question. You said we'd rush into war too quickly, right?
Yeah.
Do you think we should intervene in Syria?
I think, well, look, as a libertarian,
yeah.
I don't believe that the United States cannot be the world police. We can't afford it.
Right.
I believe we should, like, I'm not talking about being an isolationist.
Right.
If you want, send someone over to negotiate. Otherwise, you know, hang back. If there's a natural disaster, go in without guns or without the tanks and shit. Help clean it up. But ultimately, the host government has to ask for help. And then when they say, okay, guys, we got it from here, please leave, we pick up and we go. If you want to be a humanitarian about it. But being the world police, whose morality are we working off of? And then we're imposing our morality on other people? What kind of bullshit is that? It would be like me going into your house and saying, hey, you're not allowed to pray to that god. Hey, you're not allowed to wear that turban in your own fucking house. Who the fuck am I to tell you how to live your life? Who the hell am I to tell you what to do in your own home?
Right. But I'm saying, if I was in Syria, right?
Yeah.
And Assad was killing my family? It's a different... I think the Iraq war, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of like, you know, made us much more, how should I say this, gun shy, you know what I'm saying?
Well,
we fought the wrong war, mm-hmm. when we could have fought the right war, you know what I'm saying? When you start fighting a potential war, like, you know, supposedly, you know, weapons of mass destruction, we could have helped out, you know, the Syrian people instead, but we wasted our
resources,
our street creds. We already wasted it. Like, we don't have, you know, the creds to engage in a meaningful war without other people getting into it. You know, we need our allies to say, okay, you know what? Because we bamboozled them. We bamboozled our allies to join the Iraq war, right?
Yeah.
And nobody trusts us.
I mean, the thing is, here's the bullshit, though. We were so worried about weapons of mass destruction with no proof with Iraq, yet freaking North Korea has a bunch of fucking nukes and we're trying to negotiate with them. You can't have it fucking both ways.
Yeah.
And but then again, I mean, Ron Paul says, look, every country has a right to be able to defend itself however it wishes. Who are we again to tell people what to do?
You're a fan of Ron Paul?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I mean, he's the only one that's made sense.
Yeah, in some issues, I agree with him.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he's against abortion, but he's like, I'm not going to make it illegal because if people want it, if the will of the people want it and they want to do it, fine. There would be a lot less abortions if our economy was up to par and people were able to get jobs that they could be able to take care of their families.
Yeah.
I mean, all this money we're spending on the war, how's about we worry about the real shit? Like, how's about we end the drug war? End the drug war, too.
I hear you, man.
It's like we're locking up people for killing themselves.
Hmm.
Like, I mean, like, you know, I'm preaching to the choir when it comes to weed. Like, who gives a shit? Like, my thing is, if what you do is not hurting anyone else, or it's not, you know, messing up someone else's rights, stay out of it.
Yeah.
If you're doing heroin, and you're not stealing from old ladies to support your fix.
Yeah.
Fine.
You want it, but at that same point, companies should be allowed to not hire you if they personally do not want drugs. Which is why, even though when it comes to the Anthony Cumia thing, I don't like the fact that SiriusXM fired him, but they had the right to do so. I don't agree with it, which means I was one of those people that canceled the subscription.
Right.
So I voted with my wallet to not support SiriusXM anymore.
Right.
But they had the right, they had every right to fire him because they're a non-government company. So, I mean, it's like, okay, well, fine. Then I have the right to not support you. That's where the free market comes in. If a company does something that the public doesn't like, or it's discovered that they're doing something, the public has the right to not support that company anymore. If McDonald's was caught, I mean, if it became well known that McDonald's uses worm meat in their burgers, and people decided, you know what, I'm not fucking with McDonald's anymore because they're using worm meat, unless they go into 100% beef, then I'm gonna vote with my wallet and start taking my lunch to work. It's like, I mean, the American public, actually the world public as a whole, does not know how much power they actually have.
Yeah.
If people were to start taking responsibility and being personally accountable for themselves and becoming more educated in the issues, and not just throw their hands up in the air and like, oh well, that's how it is.
I hear you, man. It's like it's basically like internet fights, you know?
Yeah.
You're out of fighting the internet.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and they're trying to fuck with the internet. Even though I get kind of annoyed when I get the anonymous motherfucker talking shit to me from online. Oh, your show sucks. I'm sorry, do you pay money to listen to the show? I think I put this out for free. You're still telling me how to do my show, but you don't support me in any way? You don't freaking pay my bills? Eat a dick. Like, that's why if I say something, you know, something offensive, oh my god, I was so offensive. Write a letter to nobody.
Right.
Write a letter, throw it away, because that's exactly what I'm going to do. I was highly offended by your show. Shut the fuck up. I could give a shit. Don't listen then. Then my show does not cater to you. If somebody was to... Like, I was at this open mic, and there was this young girl. Her first line was, "I'm cute, so if you think I'm cute, you're gonna like me."
Yeah.
That immediately annoyed the fuck out of me. Like, really? So I'm supposed to laugh at your damn jokes because I wanna fuck? Are you gonna suck my dick? Like, if I'm not gonna get a fucking blowjob out the deal, why? You know, don't assume. So then when it was my turn, I was like, you know, I was totally distracted by you because I was trying to look up your skirt the whole time. And her friend's like, dude, come on, that's so rude. Well, hey, you know what you're wearing. You know what the fuck you're doing. Welcome to open mics in New York City. Then they ended up leaving early.
Oh, man.
It's like, you know, don't be a douche. Don't be a douche.
I hear you, man. I hear you.
I'm sorry. I'm a little hardcore.
Listen, man. Don't apologize, okay? Hardcore is going to keep people awake at 1 o'clock during the night, okay? It's not going to...
Oh, yeah. It's almost 1 o'clock.
Yeah, which means I got to...
You going to hop off?
I got to do some rewrites for tomorrow's mic.
Ah, what mic are you going to be doing tomorrow, if you don't mind me asking?
I might do Broadway Comedy Club, actually.
Ah.
But that's an early one. You have to get there on 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
But well, what, Mike, are you doing tomorrow?
None, because I got class. So, you know, and plus the funds are a little low. So tomorrow is I dedicated it to be writing jokes day, because I gotta come up with some new material.
Well, what are you studying, by the way?
I'm just doing something like medical office.
Nice.
Yeah, nice. You know, have a day job, and, you know, be a responsible adult during the day, a scumbag at night.
See, you're very hardcore, man. That's, you can't get hardcore than that. Studying and doing comedy, right?
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, I've been like, again, my former female friend. She would give me shit. How come you can't just? Because she used to be a cancer researcher, and she quit to do comedy, and now she doesn't have any money, and she's like, you know, shitting herself because she's starting to run low. And then she's like, if I don't make it in comedy, I'm gonna kill myself.
Oh man.
And I was like, and then she's talking shit to me. I'm like, oh, why do you go to school? You should quit school and do comedy full time. You're not dedicated enough. It's like, because, bitch, I want to be able to fucking eat while I do this. Like, every comedian before they made it big had a fucking day job.
Yeah. This is true.
Like, just because you couldn't make it, you jumped instead of, you know, doing it first and just being responsible, so that way you could still have a place to live and be able to not worry about money. It's like, don't think I'm less dedicated than you are.
Right.
That's the shit that pissed me off. I mean, I got a plan. I already mapped out my life plan. I already crossed off two goals that I completed. You know, I got a whole bunch of other goals that I, you know, this is what I suggest everyone do, especially if you're a young comic or doing whatever you do. Just get a notebook, go someplace quiet, sit by yourself, write down what you want to accomplish, what you want to improve in your life, and then figure out the steps on how to get to that level.
Wise words, my friend. Wise words, indeed.
Like, one of my goals. Get a better job so that way I could afford to do things. Okay, go to school. Get the certification. Get the training. Find, look for a job. Boom. Step by step. I want to lose weight. Stop drinking soda. Schedule my meals. Count carbs. I haven't even started that goal yet. So, you know, I'm still procrastinating like a motherfucker, but
all right, my friend, thanks for
all
right, well, for the wisdom, the good words. Enjoyed the the great podcast.
Yes, well, you do a great job. How can people find you if they want to? Do you have any of your stuff up online?
Yeah, stuff online. Follow me on Twitter at Narinder Singh.
How you spell that?
Just like my name, Narinder. And then Singh, Singh. And just follow that with an at symbol.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no space or no like underscore between my name. Just at Narinder Singh.
All right. Any place else? Are you going to be performing anywhere where people could, besides an open mic, any like pro gigs that you want people to check you out?
Yeah. But they're not going to show up.
Just throw it out there. See what happens. What's the harm in throwing it out there and see what sticks?
I'm actually doing a place next Thursday. Or is it Friday? Oh, actually, Thursday, July 24th, Renaissance Hotel Rooftop Comedy with Corey Kahaney and Cleese Hawkins. So that should be like a good show.
Ah. Roof. Okay, the Renaissance Hotel.
Yeah.
Okay, where is that?
That's on like on 57th Street. Around that area.
Renaissance Hotel, New York City. Rooftop lounge.
Yeah.
I'm Googling it, so that way I can give you a proper plug.
Oh, thanks so much, man.
Okay, it's the Renaissance New York Hotel 57. It's at 130 East 57th Street, New York, New York, 10022. It's between Park Avenue and Lexington Avenue in Midtown. It's on the east side. You can take the 456 or EMNQR to East 57th Street.
Hold on. I'm writing this down.
Oh, you didn't even know?
No, I didn't know, man. That's too much preparation.
Yeah, it's a Marriott.
Okay.
I think, actually, I've worked there because I used to do be an overnight chaperone.
Hmm.
Whenever students were traveling to New York, I would basically sit out in the hallway and make sure they stayed in their rooms and not try to, like, sneak into the girls' rooms and fuck. Yeah.
Is it a nice hotel?
Yeah.
All
right. I didn't know there was a rooftop, though.
Yeah, it's called Rooftop Terrace.
Yeah, the roof... okay. Oh, Rooftop Lounge? Maybe?
Yeah, Rooftop Lounge, Terrace, whatever. Yeah.
And that's when?
Next Thursday.
Next Thursday, which is the 24th. What time?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. So, if you're in New York City on Thursday the 24th, go to the Rooftop Lounge at the Renaissance Hotel at 130 East 57th Street, New York, New York, 10022 at Lexington Avenue, and see Narinder.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Louis. Looking forward to seeing you.
Yeah. Yes, we will. We should definitely keep in touch. And don't be a stranger. If you want to come on, hey, be like, yo, I want to fucking get on, and boom, we'll set it up. Well, I'll awesome, set it up. Why the fuck am I talking about myself in the third person? All right. So, anyways, this has been Louis B. This has been the Crotch Shot Radio Show. That's been Narinder Singh, and as always, from my house to your house, mahalo.
That's the edge of my show. Donk. Donk.